First Peter, chapter 1, verse 23-25 again. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as a flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word preached by the gospel is preached unto you. Briefly, these verses which underlie our message today is what man says will wither like grass, but what God says will abide forever. Man's word against God's word. And today, our message is on the Reformation. We've heard so much of the word Reformation. Reformation is an ever ongoing process. And it immediately draws our attention to the Reformation of the 16th century. Today is October the 31st. But if we trace backwards to the year 1517, then we come to what is known as the 16th century Reformation. This is a day that Martin Luther, a German monk, nailed his 95 theses on the door of the Wittenberg Church in Germany. What are the 95 theses? It sounds very great. 95 theses are 95 sentences that he wrote to challenge the Pope, because the Pope was using his power and his guile to fool his own people. The people in those days were totally in the dark and grip of the Roman Catholic Church. The Pope was selling what is known as indulgences. Translated into Chinese, much easier to understand. Selling forgiveness tickets. Come, come, come. Your loved one is now dead. And he has now gone to purgatory, to the fires of purgatory. There's no going to heaven. You must burn for a time until all your sins are gone. Then you can have a chance. When you believe in Christ through our church, you don't have to go through that sort of a thing. Never. The just shall live by faith. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God has raised up Jesus from the dead, that is most important, as we will study later on. Thou shalt be saved. I was so happy when at the last Easter we went to Labrador Park and he said that I preached a powerful message. I did not preach a powerful message, but it is a power of the message itself. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, thou shalt be saved. There are some of us who do not have the certainty of salvation, but the Word of God says so. You will believe it. We never did good enough to go to heaven. God has mercy on us. And they say that if you pay more money, you can get out of the fires of purgatory earlier. This is a story from the Philippines. I heard from a Filipino pastor, because it is a Roman Catholic country. Almost all that you meet there are Roman Catholics. And that's why we have a Bible class for all those mates from Philippines. They're automatically Roman Catholic. And when they come to our class, I can rejoice to tell you, every year we baptize 4 or 5, we're delivered, because they hear the good news from the Protestant Church. And this happened in the Philippines when a father died and he was a very rich man. The priest would come along and collect this forgiveness tickets money, indulgences they call. And so he had collected quite a lot of money, but he wanted more. And urged the son, be quick, he's already coming out. Then the son asked him, which leg is out? Left leg. Then he chuckled and he said, never mind. My father's right leg is made of wood. So you see, if there are Roman Catholic brothers or sisters here, we want to assure you, we are not saying anything to ridicule you, but to offer you a chance to know your salvation is very wonderfully freely given by none other than our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And now they are saying, Roman Catholics and Evangelicals together in America 2 years, 1994 and 1997, they declared it, that we are the same. Well, I don't mind. We're the same, but they still insist on works. But if they're willing to come and join us, welcome at once. We don't in any way hinder them. We have the Ang Mo son-in-law who comes from England and he's a Roman Catholic. And he was going to marry the granddaughter of one of our church leaders of the Chinese service. So I spoke to the young man. I said, there's no difference. If you believe in Jesus, everything's all right. Not Mary. And he said, all right, I will follow you sincerely. I said, okay, right away, we accept you. We tell you this good news. They want to make you to pay for indulgences, to pay for forgiveness tickets of your loved one in order to get him or her out. This is not in the Bible, and we wish to extend you the wonderful news of your salvation. And then they have another way of trying to induce you to give money to the church. As soon as your money will go into the money box, the treasury, and it clings and it rings in the box, the soul of your loved one out of the box will immediately spring. That means it's out already. Well, why are they so zealous in getting the people's money? Another reason is that the Pope is gathering all these monies to renovate his church, the St. Peter's Church. What I'm talking about is over 400 years ago, 16th century, the Pope was getting money to repair, to renovate his church, the St. Peter's. And the St. Peter's Church still remains today most beautiful, most gorgeous church. It's the biggest church in the world, and the highest, being over 400 feet. Life Church with a steeple is not even 70 feet. But this one is over 400 feet. We have our Holy Land Tour. And it is part of our program to include another country. This time I went to Egypt, to Israel, to Palestine. Another time we'll include Rome. Another time we'll go to Geneva. Why? To study church history. And when we went to Rome, we visited the Vatican City and St. Peter's Church. And we really marveled at all the marble, silver, gold, everything used to embellish the church. Therefore, if you go to Rome, I advise you that you don't miss visiting the Vatican City and the St. Peter's Church. You see how the money of the Lord, out of these indulgences, forgiveness tickets money they use to make one that is of the material of the world. And then It is stated, what was nailed on the door of Wittenberg Church? I quote the words. Was copied, translated, printed, and spread on angels' wings throughout Germany and Europe in a few weeks. The age of printing come, and the age of speedy travel. And so, the good news was broadcast. So that, again I quote, the Reformation of the 16th century is next to the introduction of Christianity, the greatest event, says the greatest church theologian, church historian, Dr. Philip Sharp. What's the meaning of this? Once the myth of purgatory, the fires of purgatory, was exploded, millions of people were set free, so that there happened what is known as the revival of revivals, the revival of all times. Singapore has not seen a revival yet for over 60 years. The Billy Graham Crusade and also Reinhard Bonnke of the Charismatics and Cho Yong-gi from Korea. No one brought any revival. But in our time, there was a revival by Dr. John Soong. And we wept for our tears. We were thoroughly saved, born again, which has not occurred in these days. Of course, we are saved, but we are thirsty for the wonderful revival that God sends. In a way, God has given some relief and a greater blessing in the Reformation that we have faced, not only in the 16th century Reformation, but now we come to a 20th century Reformation. And when the BP Church has started, I have kept remembering the commemoration of the 16th century Reformation, lest we forget. But suddenly, I am faced with a 20th century Reformation. What is it? When I went to America to study in 1948, there was a very outstanding pastor that wintry morning. I arrived there in January, very cold. That's how I remember. And they challenged us that we are not only in the 16th century Reformation, not to forget it, but now we need a 20th century Reformation. What is it about? Here he has to tell us the experiences of his teacher. He was a theological student still, Dr. Carl McIntyre, my teacher. And his teacher was Dr. Gresham Machen. Just remember Machen will do. Machen, McIntyre. And Dr. Machen was professor of theology in a very famous theological seminary called Princeton. And he warned us, modernism and liberalism, they also carry a Bible. But they don't believe the Bible as we do. The word of man will wither like grass, but the word of God will abide forever. The Reformation is always a contest between man's word and God's word. And when he said that, Dr. McIntyre, who was a student, followed. They carry the Bible, but they don't believe any word of the Bible. Not a single miracle that the Bible records. And least of all the miracle of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Think of it. We will now turn to the Bible to prove. Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. Verse 28 to 41. I read. Then seven of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign, a miracle from you. But he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, a miracle, and there shall be no miracle or sign given you, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly. What Jesus said is literal. So shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonas. Jonas is Jonah. And the greater than Jonah is here. This is my experience with my modernist teachers. When I was in senior Cambridge in ACS, they assigned a bishop, American bishop, to teach us English for 1 year. But what a miserable bishop. We were not saved. He never told us how to be saved. But when they came to the Prophet Jonas, Jonah, he ridiculed the miracle of Jonah. And he said, you believe the whale swallowed Jonah. You can believe Jonah swallowed the whale. Well, these are parables or stories, not facts. You can say that. But it was a fact that Jonah prefigured Jesus. That he was in a whale and he still lived. He resurrected. he lived again. Jesus will die and be buried for 3 hot days. The Bible, the Hebrew people count part of the day as 1 day. But thank God, the early morning of Sunday, when he rose from the dead, he rose from the dead in a great earthquake, and the soldiers saw him, but they held eyes. But the disciples secreted him away. But the truth is that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ arose from the dead. And here is where McIntyre was crusading for the 20th century Reformation against the modernists. If you let them go, truly, the mission schools all will stifle the message. The missionaries of the mission school who came to our class never witnessed to us how to be saved. We have a 16th century Reformation, Martin Luther. Now we have a 20th century Reformation, McIntyre and Machen. So, insofar as I'm concerned, you may not have gone through 2 Reformations, but I have gone through the 16th century Reformation. You also, and now have 20th century Reformation. As if it is not enough, we are now in the 21st century. Time goes. And then, as far as I'm concerned, I'm now involved in the 21st century Reformation. What is that? Again, it's the word of man. Will pass away like grass, but God's word will remain forever. Suddenly, I have 2 teachers with me in the Farrington Bible College. And they were students that I taught. Both had studied at least 3 to 4 years. And one day they appeared in a faculty meeting and gave an excuse that because I require that all those who teach in the college must take an oath that they believe the Bible, every word is the word of God. They said they cannot do it. Why? Is that they discovered some mistakes in the Bible, which horrified me. God who created heaven and earth, and he said, my heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words, plural, will not pass away. He guaranteed it himself. And so, I immediately issued a statement that insofar as the pastor and the principal of the college is concerned, he believes the Bible is 100% perfect without any mistake. But the sad thing is that many people do not know anything and they waver. And to be on good terms with the 2 pastors, a great part of the session took his side or did not oppose him. And then later on, they felt guilty in the session, issued a statement, now we believe the Bible has no mistake. But short of an apology from the 2 pastors who said that they have found mistakes in the Bible. This makes the situation even worse. More confusing. But I cannot remain in a church with a session supports of two rival assistant pastors. That's why I had to come out. And the Lord really blessed on coming out, because in 2 weeks we got this auditorium. They were repairing this place. And they finished it just 2 weeks in time to help us. And we have been here for over 1 year. And from a beginning of 150 or so, we have now increased to 300. There are many people sitting upstairs. I do not know why, especially this Sunday. I think there are at least 50, 60 people sitting upstairs. I don't know why this Sunday especially. And so, we have a 16th century Reformation. You know the history now. Indulgences and forgiveness tickets. Sold by the Pope to get money. We have a 20th century Reformation against the modernists by Dr. Machen and McIntyre. And now we have a 21st century Reformation where you and I are involved. Today we are all involved. Why are we a True Life BP Church? Because we want to take a stand for a perfect Bible, 100% perfect, with no mistakes. Let us pray. Almighty God, Thou who searches every heart, and you know what are our thoughts, may we live always honest to you and state the truth. And as you have said, that you have not let anyone take any part of your glory, help us always to say things that will bring glory only to your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.